Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good day. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday. It is Friday, December 6, 2024. And getting into the Fantasy Sports Friday situation. Going to talk a lot about football, NFL football, some college football, and a little bit of baseball and some overall general current news going on in the sporting world. And a quick announcement for fans of the show. I did make an announcement Wednesday on my music show, Backbeat Radio, that at the end of this month, December 2024, I'm going to be retiring the Fantasy Sports Friday show, kind of focusing on my other show a little bit more and other stuff, a lot of stuff going on here at the station, and I just want to have more time to do some of the other things that I'm responsible for, and it's been a lot of fun doing the Fantasy Sports show. Obviously, I pretty much talk sports my whole life, sports and music, and occasionally I have a microphone turned on in front of me, and we'll broadcast that stuff. But it's been a very rewarding show, and just kind of spreading myself a little too thin. Want to focus on being better at what I do coming up in 2025. So if you're a fan of the show, you know, download it, enjoy it. It's going to be wrapping up here in a couple of weeks. But let's move on with some news that's happening before we get into the NFL playoff brackets and fantasy playoffs, which should be starting next week in most fantasy leagues. One of the more interesting things that have happened in the sports news this week or past week, Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball commissioner, who's made some interesting decisions in changing rules in the game over the last couple of seasons, introduced a new proposition with the winter meetings happening. Something called the Golden At-Bat for Major League Baseball, which has not gotten a lot of support from fans, and I don't know who really is in big support of it. Maybe some owners or other people in Major League Baseball office. But, you know, part of baseball, Major League Baseball's overall situation is they have seen that more of the fans of Major League Baseball are older, and they're kind of trying to draw in younger fans to have to keep growing the game and have future fans. Nothing wrong with that. They've added a few things since the truncated season of the COVID, when they were playing games in front of nobody, pretty much all sports, and had a World Series after 60 games, which is barely even a third of the season. Nonetheless, we got through that, but after that season, and Major League Baseball added some things. They've sped up the pitch clock, which is kind of come around. People have adjusted that. We've been dealing with that for two seasons, and baseball is a little strange the first couple weeks. And also, they enlarged the bases, which apparently increased the amount of stolen bases, which I'm a big fan of. I thought anything to increase the amount of stolen bases in baseball was cool. I know it sounds ironic to say stealing is a good thing. In baseball, it is. I think it's kind of a lost art in the game. If you look back to the past and, some of the great players in the history of the game, Willie Mays, Jackie Robinson, Lou Brock, and, of course, the all-time stolen base leader, Ricky Henderson. Those guys made an impact without having to hit home runs. Each and every one of those guys also hit for a high average and a fair amount of power. I think Ricky Henderson has the record for most leadoff home runs in baseball history. Mookie Betts has been making a lot in current games. But you know, it was exciting. One of these guys would get on base and, you know, a little cat and mouse with the pitcher thrown over to first base, and then they'd get a jump and, you know, stolen base, get into scoring position. So Major League Baseball, when they got to extra innings, decided to, you know, put the magic runner on second base and start off the inning with a runner in scoring position to, you know, kind of speed up and cut down extra innings. When you get to the 10th inning and such, you know, could go a couple innings till somebody gets a hit or gets on base, and having a runner on second to start off certainly makes it easier for a team to, you know, maybe play small ball, bunt, sacrifice, fly, you know, in a base hit. Generally, runner from second base, that's in scoring position. Now, one thing about the magic runner on second base in scoring position, you know, let's say you have Ricky Henderson on your team, although he's quite retired, but someone of his ability, you know, a fast runner, good base stealer, what have you. It's not that you get to pick your best base runner and put him on second base. It's pretty much the person who made the final outs in the inning before. And, you know, managers can, of course, choose to pinch run for that person. And when you do that, that's part of, I think the cool thing about baseball is that there are limitations. If you make a substitution for a player that has been substituted for is out of the game. They've done their service for today's game. Now, there's been some mixed feelings about the magic runner on second base. Overall, it really hasn't been too detrimental to the game, in my opinion. There's still purists that are upset that there's a designated hitter rule even in one league, let alone two. Of course, it used to be an American League thing originated by Charles Finley, the cheapskate yet very innovative owner of the Oakland A's of the early 1970s. And he was famous for, you know, he signed a guy named Herb Washington who really had very little baseball experience, but he was a sprinter, and he made him into a base runner, trying to do that. And always, the A's always had a lot of, you know, really good base runners on that team. Now, with the proposed golden at bat from Commissioner Rob Manfred, baseball teams, if it is approved by the owners or a majority of owners or however that goes, baseball teams would be able to choose any player on their team to come up and take an at bat, typically known as a pinch hitter. You have somebody who's not in the game yet. You have somebody who, yeah, for whatever reason, you know, you think you have a better matchup, if it's a lefty-righty matchup, which, you know, they kind of do a lot in baseball, a little too much, in my opinion. Nonetheless, if you're the L.A. Dodgers and, you know, you have a situation, a couple of runners on base, you need a big hit, well, Shohei Ohtani might get the golden at bat, or the Yankees might call in Aaron Judge, or every team has a slugger. Every team's got a couple really good players. Championship teams, of course, have more than a couple good players and what have you. But just some of the backlash from fans who have already kind of put up with some of the newer rules and changes and innovations in baseball. Definitely a line in the sand on this one. No one's really signed off on the golden at bat, and they're kind of calling it Commissioner Rob Manfred out on this one. Kind of a little crazy. Hopefully this does not pass. This would radically change the makeup of the game. And I see it in other sports. You know, in basketball, you have your highest free throw shooter. If there's a technical foul, that person is going to get the shot at the free throw. Like Warriors, for instance, Steph Curry is like a 90% free throw shooter. He's generally the guy that's going to take those technical foul free throws. In a game of soccer, European football, you got a penalty kick, you get a free goal kick from, you know, there in the penalty box, you're going to get your best striker, Lionel Messi, Mohamed Salah of the Liverpool team. Pretty much your best goal scorer, guys that would be number one in your list of when you get down to penalty kicks, which is how they do tiebreakers in playoff and World Cup tournaments. But, you know, you have a designated kicker, designated free throw person, totally different. Baseball? Magic golden at bat? Let's just bring up our best hitter at any time in the game when we want to. I'm not sure. We're kind of stepping into video game territory. And again, there's been a few other interesting rules that have been a little controversial in some people's eyes. The magic runner, the now the complete designated hitter rule in all of baseball, in addition to interleague play, which had been kind of growing and becoming more of a common thing. So those are a couple things coming up in Major League Baseball to kind of pay attention to. And it's not like you can write to your congressman and say, hey, let's not do this. Either way, something to pay attention to in the Major League Baseball offseason, in addition to some of the free agents that'll be signing. Of course, Yankees outfielder Juan Soto, not necessarily a member of the Yankees, he is trying to sign pretty early. He, of course, has the agent Steve Boros, who is pretty famous for getting lots of money for his clients. And one of his clients last year, I think he did a bit of a disservice to one pitcher, Blake Snell. Blake Snell turned out all right. You know, he had a okay season once he got into shape. But the fact that they held out so long waiting for, you know, such a high offer, by the time that Blake Snell signed a deal with the San Francisco Giants, spring training was basically over. And, you know, athletes do stay in better shape all around the year compared to, say, the 60s and 70s when athletes were sometimes had to work a second job, maybe go sell cars in the off season. Some were truck drivers working at warehouses, you know, a lot of stuff back in the, you know, not too long ago. You know, athletes were not making the money they do now and had to have a second job. So nonetheless, you know, pitching is something that the current people in baseball pay a lot of attention to. I think maybe a little too much in the, let's say, keeping arms fresh, if you will, pitch counts, you know, not letting people go past a certain amount where, you know, again, not too many years ago, guys like Nolan Ryan would pitch complete games, well over 100 pitches, and he pitched well into his 40s. You know, he's kind of an anomaly, but there were a lot of old pitchers back in that day who did that. Now we have a high level of, it seems, you know, athletes who are getting Tommy John surgery, or not athletes, but I mean pitchers, at a young age. So there's been some, who knows what's going on with pitching? Is it a, you know, something in coaching, a new release point, the emphasis on pitchers throwing as fast and as hard as they can, trying to get the highest speed possible instead of a guy like Greg Maddux, who was more of a pitcher instead of a hard thrower, didn't have arm trouble in his career. But the Tommy John surgery is obviously more common with Major League Baseball pitchers. So that has definitely changed. But another free agent coming over from Japan, a member of the Hanshin Tigers by the name of Koyo Aoyagi. He is going to be leaving the Japanese Professional League and wants to try out his hand in Major League Baseball. So he's going to be a high-level free agent coming up, you know, in the next couple months. But back to Blake Snell. You know, he signed with the Giants, missed spring training, and then, you know, was ineffective for the first month to 6 weeks of the season until he was really in shape to pitch. And then by then, he had some injuries, had to go on the disabled list a couple times, eventually came around and, you know, did pretty well, had a no-hitter and an overall decent record with the Giants. But, you know, the way the contract was at some point, you know, last year during the season, I was kind of like, I don't know if he's going to be there next year. He signed a two-year deal with an option to, you know, opt out after season number one, which he did. And lo and behold, Blake Snell signed with the Giants' major rival and the current world champion, L.A. Dodgers. Got a pretty big deal. He's already signed. He's happy to be there. Reunited with the general manager, Andrew Friedman, who had been the general manager in Tampa Bay before coming to the Dodgers. And that's where Blake Snell started his career. And he had a great game in the World Series a few seasons ago against the Dodgers in the fifth inning. I think he finally gave up his first hit or base runner, and the Tampa Rays decided to decided to pull him. He was having a great game. It was game six, and had Tampa Bay won, they would have forced game seven in that series. Tampa Bay took Blake Snell out after his first runner of the... Naturally, people are texting me during my show. Anyway, so Blake Snell, he went to the Padres and to the Giants, and now he's with the Dodgers, and kind of a if you can't beat him, join him situation. And that team is super stacked and interesting with all the major contracts and big-name players that the Dodgers have acquired over the past couple years. Certainly helped them win the World Series this season, having all that talent. Shohei Ohtani having a great season. Of course, the other free agents that they picked up doing well, trades for Freddie Freeman, Yoshimoto coming over from Japan, and the guy from Seattle, Teoscar Hernandez. They've all re-signed. Teoscar Hernandez re-signed with the Dodgers. And with a lot of these people, the Dodgers are deferring a lot of the big money that they're paying these players. So they've got a lot of money in deferment, which is an interesting kind of new thing, a new wrinkle in free agency signing in sports. You know, coming up around, you should think it's July 1st every year, and it's going to be another 5 years at least or so. Former player Bobby Bonilla, and, you know, sports fans, baseball fans call it Bobby Bonilla Day because he gets a million and a quarter contract in his deferred payment, which was signed back in the 1990s. Other guys, King Griffey Jr. is currently enjoying some deferred payments. Shohei Ohtani is getting most of his mega contract in deferred payments. Blake Snell will also be getting deferred payments. So in a way, it's a built-in retirement plan for the players. And it's a way for the team, in this case, the Dodgers, to kind of save a little money up front. And you go, well, they got to pay them on the back end. But, you know, if you understand banking, which you probably understand better than I do, basically a team like the Dodgers can take a pretty big chunk of money, put it into a high-interest-bearing bank account, and by the time these players are done with their career, that high-interest bank account will have accrued interest, and all they have to do is put in a nice big chunk of money now, and they'll have the money to pay for those players. The Dodgers also do make a lot of money. I think they draw like 3 million fans a year. They do sell out the majority of their games, 80 games at 50,000 people, plus the parking and all of that stuff. So, smart move by the Dodgers, and they're able to get the right players in on the team and build a championship potential. So, Blake Snell, a big free agent signing. Juan Soto has not signed yet, but apparently Scott Boras learned a bit of a lesson from last year in the late signing and is working pretty hard to get his players signed earlier this year than the past couple years. Also, there's a bit of a, I won't say collusion, but there was a bit of a reason that owners are trying to keep costs down if they can in many cases. So they're not paying super high amounts of money for free agents as they would in the past. So, you know, the high level agents, free agency is, you know, kind of leveling off in Major League Baseball. And that's not such a bad thing. So, that's a couple things happening with Major League Baseball here in the off season. And of course, you know, won't be long. Football will be wrapping up in about 2 months. And then right after that, pitchers and catchers report to spring training in Florida and in Arizona. So that'll be coming up in a couple months. Something else kind of going on in the sports news this week. I think just yesterday or the day before, former Patriot coach Bill Belichick threw his hat in the ring or mentioned that he has interest in the upcoming University of North Carolina coaching vacancy. Now, Bill Belichick has been he's number two on the all-time winning list to Don Shula. And there's a lot of speculation that he may want to come back and coach another couple seasons in the NFL to try to catch that record, you know, for personal reasons. And, you know, nice little star in your career. Don Shula, one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. He, you know, started with the then Baltimore Colts, took them to a Super Bowl, then ended up with Miami. And, of course, the perfect season of 1972, the 17-0 Dolphins. And members of that team still celebrate when the last NFL team loses in the season, and they continue to be the only undefeated team in NFL history. So Bill Belichick has mentioned he would be interested in the possibly North Carolina opening, and supposedly he's meeting with them today or over the weekend. Now, obviously, college football has changed quite a bit from what it used to be, and the fact that it's now pretty much open season and no longer a open secret that players get paid. It's now up and above board, and there's a lot of, you know, high-end college players that will eventually be playing in the pros that are being paid very well in college right now for name, image, and likeness and this and that and the other thing. So maybe Belichick is thinking, you know, get in there. Some of the boosters might, you know, want to help pay and get, you know, get some high-end players coming to the school, especially if he's going to be their coach. There's always alumni that seems like they just want to see their former team win and don't mind donating a lot of money to it. Now, that could be just, you know, him getting back into the interest of things, or, you know, maybe he's tired with the NFL and thinks college could be a little bit more fun. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out. Either way, I think it's football is better with Bill Belichick being involved. Although, as a fan, being able to see him as a commentator is kind of cool, because he's so famous for being tight-lipped and almost a curmudgeon that doesn't like to speak out or have any fun or give his opinion. Well, that's what he's been doing as a commentator, speaking out, giving his opinion, and kind of having fun. So it turns out he's a little bit more fun than we really realize for all these seasons. And then we'll see if he goes into the college or returns to the NFL. There are a number of NFL coaching openings. A couple of them that have been mentioned. Chicago just let go of Matt Eberflus. That would be a big city. Jacksonville's probably going to be looking for a new coach. And with Tom Brady buying into a partial ownership of the Las Vegas Raiders, he might throw in his influence to see if he can get Bill Belichick to come coach the Raiders. Now, the Raiders have a head coach, Antonio Pierce, but they've lost 8 games in a row. And they're competitive on Black Friday against the Chiefs. Came down to the end, were, you know, within a play or two of maybe winning that game, although they didn't. And they're 2-10. So Antonio Pierce, well, last year finished very strong, has had a struggle this year with the Raiders. Now that Tom Brady's officially in the ownership, you know, and Belichick's available, that's always a speculation. Another speculation is Deion Sanders with the University of Colorado. He turned them around, only a couple wins last year, and this year they've won 8 or 9. His son, Shedeur Sanders, is expected to be maybe the top quarterback coming out, and usually quarterbacks are among the first 1, 2, or 3 folks drafted, and currently the Raiders, Jaguars, and Giants are all sitting there at 2 wins apiece. So it remains to be seen who will get the official number 1 pick when that happens. I think all those teams could use a quarterback, Jacksonville maybe being the exception, with Trevor Lawrence signed to a big contract, but his season has been shut down. He's on injured reserve, and he's got a shoulder surgery coming up on his non-throwing shoulder, and you know, it could always be possible. The thing with the NFL, they do have big contracts, they do pay a lot of money, but part of that guaranteed contracts is the team can terminate that contract anytime they want. So there could be change even in Jacksonville, and they could be in the market for a number one quarterback if Sanders was to possibly come to the Raiders. He would probably want his son. As a Raider fan, I think he would probably want Shedeur Sanders more than Coach Deion, but Deion has been successful. He's turned 2 college football programs around within 2 seasons each time. He's taken Colorado and before that Jackson State, you know, from 1-win teams to 10-win teams within 2 seasons. So it's possible he could do that in the pros. Maybe the college athletes listen to him a little more than NFL players would, although Dion certainly has credibility, and I think he would get players to listen to him. Man, having his son play quarterback and coaching him could be interesting. So there's a lot to happen, of course, with coaching carousel coming up in a few weeks in the NFL, but the playoffs, of course, are a little more prevalent and will be happening sooner. We'll talk about the playoff picture in the NFL and fantasy sports playoffs. Football playoffs should be starting next week when we continue on Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net Radio today.
When my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And welcome back, Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net. If you missed the quick announcement at the beginning of the show, we'll be wrapping up Fantasy Sports Friday at the end of December here of 2024. I'll still be here at the network, concentrating on my other shows, just time to concentrate on other stuff. Had a good time doing this show and want to have a good time with other things, just sort of spreading myself a little thin and looking forward to kind of having more free time and energy on other things here at the network. So thanks for supporting Fantasy Sports Friday for the last couple years. As we left the last segment, heading into the break, the NFL playoffs are right around the corner, and, you know, they did expand the playoffs a couple of seasons ago. Each conference, NFC and AFC, will get 7 teams in the playoffs, which is pretty close to almost half the league. And that makes the playoffs pretty exciting. Now, obviously, 7 is an odd number, so how do you make the 7 turn into an even number? Well, the number one seed in each team, or the team with the best record, gets the first game of the playoffs as a bye week. They will also get a home field advantage for the team that's the lowest seed coming out of the first round. Currently, the seeding, if the playoffs were to start today or this weekend, in the NFC, the Detroit Lions, 12-1, with a 3-point victory last night on Thursday night against the Green Bay Packers. Pretty exciting game, very competitive, and Detroit, 12-1, number one seed in the NFC. Maybe the best team in the league right now. Who knows? Number two would be Philadelphia. They have been very strong. You know, they sort of hit a skid at the end of last season and lost like 6 of their last 7 games, but they've, you know, turned things around. And the free agent signing in the offseason of former New York Giant running back Saquon Barkley he really paid dividends for the Eagles. It's really improved their running game. And Saquon Barkley is, you know, not that he was having a bad career with the Giants, but he's having his best season ever right now with the Eagles and potentially the best season ever as a NFL running back. He's on pace to actually top Eric Dickerson's single season rushing record of like 2,153 yards, something like that. He's on pace. We'll see if it happens. You know, sometimes, you know, teams will preserve the player's health and maybe sit them down a little bit instead of trying to get extra yards and go for a record at certain times to kind of protect them heading deeper into the playoffs. Now, different from baseball and the Tommy John surgery type thing, obviously in football, any play could be your last play. It's such a physical game, and things happen, especially when there's a pile up, you know, bodies. You got like a ton of football men falling on maybe a leg going backwards that shouldn't be in that position, and that's how a lot of strange injuries happen. But Saquon Barkley having a great season for the Eagles, who are the number two seed in the NFC. Now, currently, the way things go, while they don't have the record and aren't guaranteed a playoff position, Seattle would be the number three seed. Now, they're 7-6. They play the 6-6 Arizona Cardinals this week. The Cardinals beat them just a couple weeks ago. And that entire NFC West is all within two games. And the Seahawks at 7-6. You got the Cardinals and Rams at 6-6. And then the 49ers, who have literally every key player on their team, starter, and others have been injured this year. And now they're dealing with Christian McCaffrey out for the season. Jordan Mason, his backup, who was having a good year, out for the season. Nick Bosa, injured. So the Niners really would need a miracle to come back and possibly win the division, although they have games against the Rams and such. So they could win in head-to-head, and, you know, there's a lot of head-to-head going on. That division is still wide open. So, again, if the playoffs started today, Seattle would be the number three seed. Also, kind of the same story, the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Bucks in the NFC South, both are 6-6. I think Atlanta has beat Tampa twice this year. I'm pretty sure they have, so they own the tiebreaker if you know, the season was ending with those teams in a tie. Atlanta will visit Minnesota this week. That's where Kirk Cousins was a quarterback for the last few seasons. That'll be interesting. So since they're a division winner, whoever wins this division, as the Seattle situation with the NFC West and NFC South, those divisions will send the champion to the playoffs. But I doubt, seriously, unless something major happens, that either of those divisions will be sending a second team. Especially in the NFC, where the NFC North, which used to be called the Black and Blue Division because it was always so competitive, and, you know, they played in the cold before they had dome stadiums. Now with two of those teams having dome stadiums, it's not quite the same. But the Minnesota Vikings have certainly upset the apple cart in that division. Many people thought the Bears would be maybe the third best team with Caleb Williams, and a lot of optimism. Hasn't quite worked out that way for Chicago. In fact, they recently just fired Matt Eberflus on Thanksgiving Day. The Bears were close to a comeback victory against the Lions. And in the last, you know, minute or so, they had a timeout that they didn't use. And many people were wondering, why did you not use that timeout that you had to, you know, figure out another player, try to kick a field goal? And then in the press conference, Matt Eberflus defended his decision of not using the timeout. And that was enough for the owners and general managers of the Bears to hear. And they've since turned the page. So that'll be a team looking for a new coach next season. And, you know, Caleb Williams has had some struggles this year as a rookie quarterback. He still has an enormous amount of potential, and a good offensive-minded quarterback kind of coach could turn them around easily next year. But Minnesota would be the number five seed, and they have a game coming up against Detroit, so there's a possibility they could beat Detroit and, you know, kind of upset that apple cart. They've only have two losses. Green Bay's in third place. They had an opportunity last night. They lost by 3 points to the Lions. They now are 9-4. Still a very good season, and they would be the number six seed if the playoffs started today. which they don't. We got another four or five games to go, but nonetheless, they appear to be in the playoffs. And then right now, the number seven team is the Washington Commanders, who were on a big roll, and then they lost about two or three in a row. They have a bye this week, so they'll rest some players and then try to make a run down the stretch. They'll have a game against the Eagles and the Cowboys, who aren't all the way out of it, but, you know, without quarterback Dak Prescott and some other things for Dallas, they pretty much have to win out. But it is a possibility mathematically, and they did defeat Washington just recently, so they will play again as well. So Washington currently would hold the number seven spot, but it's not guaranteed at this moment. They have a couple games coming up against teams that could speak up against them and cause some issues. On to the AFC. The Kansas City Chiefs are the number one seed. They play the LA Chargers this Sunday night in Kansas City. The Chiefs lost a couple weeks ago to Buffalo, who was the number two seed and only has two losses as well. If the Chiefs were to lose a game and Buffalo would win out, Buffalo would get the number one seed. Now, they had the number one seed last year, and Kansas City came and beat Buffalo in Buffalo on their way to their second straight Super Bowl. The Chiefs still look very good, and, you know, they're a team that definitely knows how to win, even when they're not playing their best game or dealing with injuries, and they could be the first team in NFL history to win three Super Bowls in a row. They're certainly in a position to do that. We'll remain how things go. If they do lose a game and Buffalo wins out, Buffalo would get the number one seed. So KC right now is number one. Buffalo is number two. The Pittsburgh Steelers are surprising. They currently today would be seeded number three with nine wins. And what a year for Russell Wilson. You know, great career with the Seahawks. That came to an end for various reasons. Was traded to Denver, a very high-profile trade, a mega contract was signed, and things did not work out for the Broncos or for Russell Wilson in that whole two seasons there. So he was released at a great cost to the Denver Broncos this past offseason, and pretty much signed for around the league minimum with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not a lot of teams were interested in Wilson after a couple subpar seasons with the Broncos. People were wondering if he had anything really left in the tank. The Steelers got a very good deal on him and an improvement with their quarterback room, and they released their quarterbacks from last season who have since gone on to other teams, and they picked up Justin Fields from Chicago and Russell Wilson, who came into camp with an ankle injury, and I think by week three or four was healthy enough to start. And since he's been starting, Pittsburgh has been winning, you know, and this will be another season. Mike Tomlin, I think 18 years in a row, no losing seasons. You know, we talk about all these teams with coaching changes. The Pittsburgh Steelers, and pretty much since the late 1960s, early 1970s, when Chuck Knoll was the coach, they've had three coaches since 1970. Chuck Knoll, who led the Steelers to four Super Bowls, you know, Terry Bradshaw, Mean Joe Green, Lynn Swan, Franco Harris, Jack Lambert, all those classic players. After that, Bill Cowher, who's been a CBS commentator for the last 18 years since he stepped down, he was hired. He was a young guy hired, and he led the Steelers to a Super Bowl. And then Mike Tomlin, another young coach, was hired to replace Bill Cowher. He's been there 18 years now and has not had a losing season, which is remarkable with the topsy-turvy NFL. I mean, Mike Tomlin doing a good job. And again, the Pittsburgh Steelers are kind of the same team that they've always been. They play tough defense, they blitz, they use a lot of play action, physical running game. And, you know, Pittsburgh is like pizza and beer on a Friday night. You know, it might not be the fanciest thing, it might not be, but you know what you're going to get, and if you like it, you like it. Pittsburgh is that kind of team. You know what you're going to get, and that personality has stayed pretty strong. The number four seed in the AFC would be the Houston Texans, who have been pretty well but have shown some weaknesses and, you know, possibility of being defeated. They would be a division winner. They don't have as good a record as some of the other teams, but you know, not quite the discrepancy that the NFC has with Minnesota and Green Bay having great records. So Houston would be team number four. You know, the Indianapolis Colts could somehow sneak up and knock them off as division champions. So Indianapolis is one of those dangerous teams I mentioned that has not a great record, but could end up with a great record by the time you look at it. And there's going to be a team with a really good record that's on this list that won't make it. That's just the way things kind of roll when you get to the last month of the NFL season. And a team right now that could be a candidate for a good team that might not make it is the Baltimore Ravens. They're 8-5. They've lost some tough games. I know they'll be playing the Steelers one more time. And that, of course, will be a tough game. Baltimore would be the fifth seed if the playoffs started today. Jim Harbaugh and the LA Chargers will be seeded number six. They play the Chiefs, as I mentioned, this coming Sunday night, and I would not be shocked if the Chargers pulled the upset. The Chiefs have been winning their last number of games, you know, by a field goal or less. You know, they really got lucky in a couple of those games. And Denver, well, against Denver a few weeks ago, you know, Denver is in position to win the game or at least tie the game and force overtime with a last-minute field goal that miraculously the Chiefs blocked it. You know, and block kicks don't happen all the time. They're kind of rare. But the Chiefs got it when they needed it and preserved that victory. They did lose to Buffalo. And, you know, just this past Black Friday, you know, they kind of barely beat the Raiders, 19-17. And the Raiders, their kicker, Daniel Carlson, had missed three field goals in the game. Raiders are in field goal position with 15 seconds left, and we're trying to get one more play to get just a little closer for Carlson. And, you know, strange things happen. The center, Jackson Roberts Powers, who's a rookie, typically an offensive guard, not necessarily a center, snapped the ball for some reason when quarterback Aiden O'Connell wasn't looking and prepared for the snap. Therefore, he fumbled the ball, and the Chiefs recovered. And, of course, there was a flag in the play, and the referees ruled it. So, basically, they called an illegal procedure penalty, which, you know, based on the rules, prevented the false start and the 5-yard penalty, and the, you know, play went on to, you know, give the Kansas City the ball. But anyway, they're within a play or so of not winning that game against the, you know, quite underperforming Las Vegas Raiders, who have only won two games this season. So the Chargers coming into Kansas City is definitely a, you know, game to watch Sunday night. That's going to be fun. And behind the Chargers, and I think they will play next, maybe two Thursdays from yesterday on the 19th of December. It's a flex alert game as the National Football League has decided to flex the Chargers-Broncos game that was scheduled for Sunday in Los Angeles to Thursday night, making it a primetime game, giving Amazon a great game, taking away the Sunday national telecast, but putting it on a Thursday night standalone game, and that will go a ways to determining, you know, playoff situation with the Chargers and the Broncos. So those are the teams in the AFC and NFC currently, if the season were to end today, that would be in the playoffs. I'm Jay Cruz. It's Fantasy Sports Friday. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll return talking about fantasy playoffs in football for one of my teams when we return.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And we're back, Fantasy Sports Friday, here on HealthyLife.net Radio. If you missed the first part of the show, you can always go to the on-demand podcast link on our homepage and check it out, download it, maybe share it with a friend. So, fantasy football playoffs, it's traditional not to have playoffs going on the very, very final week of the season. Typically, there will be a lot of teams that will sit some very key players, typically quarterbacks, star running backs, star wide receivers, guys that would probably be picked in your first one, two, or three rounds in your fantasy football drafts. Case in point, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs might have a bye already secured heading into the last week of the season. And, you know, they upset Mahomes before and, you know, gone ahead and sacrificed the final game of the season to, you know, keep people healthy. And it's not uncommon for other teams to do that. Detroit could be in that situation. Usually the, you know, top teams with the top players, the guys who are leading your team to victory in fantasy sports might be forced to not play since the team is in looking at their big picture and will sit them out to avoid the unlikely timing of a season ending or enough of an injury to keep them from the playoffs. So that's something to keep in mind. It's week 14, and the final bye week for a number of teams is this week, and that includes the Baltimore Ravens, Denver Broncos, Washington Commanders, and it looks like the New England Patriots are the four teams that have a week off, and it's late in the season. You know, hats off to these teams for making it this far without having their week off quite yet. Now, for me and one of my teams, the Tanktown Tarantinos, that is currently going to be in the playoffs, I have Lamar Jackson and Bo Nix as two of my quarterbacks. In this league, there is a slot where we can actually have a second quarterback, which most players in the league use because quarterbacks get higher number of points in fantasy than most other, you know, running backs, receivers, and tight ends. So having two quarterbacks will kind of give you a little bit more points overall. And this is a league where we actually, instead of just drafting round by round, we bid on players. I had Lamar Jackson, and there was a number of other quarterbacks and people that I wanted. I really wanted to get Jaden Daniels, but the bidding was very high on him when he came up in our auction draft. And Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson had the same bye week. And I was like, yeah, it's just going to be, you know, pretty tough spending, you know, a lot of auction money on two players who are basically knowing my week 14 would be, you know, kind of shot already. So, Bo Nix, also the person I end up getting as my second quarterback. He's had a pretty solid rookie year. You know, Denver's had a good season. And they have a bye week, too. So my two quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, Bo Nix, not playing this week. I didn't get Jaden Daniels. I have him on another team. So the person I ended up getting as my backup quarterback at the beginning of the season, Gardner Minshew with the Raiders, because he had won the starting quarterback position. And, you know, I was able to get him with nobody bidding against me, so I got him for the league minimum of one whole dollar. And eventually he was benched by the Raiders, so I was like, okay, I got to get somebody else in here. And lo and behold, the Giants promoted Tommy DeVito after they released and benched Daniel Jones. And I thought Tommy would be good for a start or two. And well, he's been injured, so the Giants are going with their actual number two quarterback, Drew Lock. I'm surprised they didn't go with him to begin with. I think they maybe just wanted to see what Tommy DeVito had. See if he has a future with the Giants, because obviously they had released Daniel Jones already, so they're a team that'll be certainly in the quarterback market and could be the number one drafting team when the season wraps up. They only have two wins so far. So I picked him up, and then he got injured, and Aiden O'Connell of the Las Vegas Raiders was reinstated, so I picked him up as one of the few quarterbacks available. Just to have a starting quarterback for this actual week, which the way it looks doesn't necessarily matter. If I win or lose, my team still will qualify as the number six seed in the playoffs and will be playing next week, and I'll have Jackson and Nix back in. Also had to pick up a kicker. Again, who's available? Well, had to look at the Raiders. Daniel Carlson, who's usually a good kicker, and Las Vegas plays in a dome, so when it comes to picking kickers, I typically like kickers that kick in domes. There's no wind in a dome. There's no freezing cold. So there's a lot of advantages to kicking indoors in a nice 72-degree weather, no matter where teams play. And, you know, last Friday, Daniel Carlson, who was not yet a member of my team, he missed three field goals. Outdoors, Kansas City, cold weather, little wind. Either way, I needed to pick him up. I had the Cincinnati kicker who is injured and on the injured reserve. So I might have them for next year, but Aiden O'Connell will be my starting quarterback for this week. And again, he did not do bad last week against Kansas City. Statistically, he put up 300 something yards, which is a good performance from any starting quarterback. Maybe not enough touchdowns, maybe one or two interceptions, but either way, it's going to get me through the week. And, hopefully he has a good game. The Raiders will be playing Tampa Bay. Now, it's a kind of a must-win for Tampa Bay, who are 6-6 and tied with the Falcons for the lead in the NFC South. And since Atlanta has defeated Tampa twice, you know, they're essentially, behind the Falcons. But Tampa Bay has a very winnable game against Las Vegas. They're playing at home against the Raiders. We'll have to travel for the second week in a row. And Atlanta plays Minnesota. Minnesota's only lost twice. Kirk Cousins was their quarterback last year until his Achilles tendon injury happened. And, you know, he might be motivated, but I got to think that the Minnesota defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, will have a few tricks and wrinkles up his sleeve for the defense to pull against Kirk Cousins. So Tampa Bay could easily find themselves in the driver's seat after this upcoming Sunday. And I'm just hoping Aiden O'Connell has a good game. And, you know, as far as where things are going for the future of the Raiders, they're going to be in the top four or five people drafting for next season. And there's at least two good quarterbacks coming out. The main one would be Deion's son, Shedeur Sanders, who is a Heisman Trophy finalist, who might actually lose to his teammate, Travis Hunter, who is a two-way player. He's a great defensive player. Obviously, he's gained a lot of experience and knowledge from Deion Sanders, who was a great defensive back in his career. And Deion, being a great athlete, was occasionally used on offense. Travis Hunter has occasionally been used on offense as a wide receiver as well. So, but Shedeur Sanders is somebody that, hey, the Raiders have already mentioned they'd like to have. And it could be Deion Sanders and Shedeur going to the Raiders. We'll have to wait and see. So, but those are some things to kind of prepare for. You know, look on the waiver wire if you are in the playoffs this week and, you know, see if there's a position where you have an injured player that you need to fill in for the upcoming playoffs, as you can still pick up available players on the waiver wire, and hopefully you don't have, you know, too much major going on. Baseball preparation, it's almost time to start looking at that, because fantasy baseball will be here in a couple weeks, really. I mean, it's December, you know, this month will fly by. If you're a football fan, you got games to watch, and there's the college football. That's going to be a lot more interesting and kind of fun, because, you know, now when the teams are at the end of the season, you kind of get a look at some of the players who will be high draft picks coming up next year. So you get a chance to watch the occasional player, and see if they're going to be someone you want to draft next year if they are available for you. So college football championships today and all through the weekend for the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, a lot of games. Next weekend, the Army-Navy game will happen, and those two teams are both really good this year, so that will be a lot of fun to watch. And coming up next week, that's just amazing. That game is always full of electricity, no matter what those teams' records are. Army having a great season, has only lost once to Notre Dame, and they lost significantly in that game, too. After the championships, for the conference championships this weekend, the college football playoffs will start on Friday, December 20th and Saturday, December 21st. About a week and a half after that, the next round of the college football playoffs will be on December 31st, New Year's Eve, and three games on New Year's Day, kind of competing with the traditional bowl games. And then the following weekend, January 9th and January 10th, will be the semifinals for the college football playoff, with the winners going on to play Monday, January 20th. At least this year, the college football playoff has 12 teams, not just four. It's a bit expanded. More teams are invited to the party. And I think it's high time the college football, the Division I men's college football, got to a legitimate championship on the field. Every other smaller division of college football has had extensive playoffs, which, you know, pretty much flies in the face of, well, the student athletes have to study for finals. Yeah, right. These guys don't really study for finals. They have tutors, and now they're getting paid. So basically, let's call college football what it is, essentially a forced minor league system for athletes that want to play professional football. So nonetheless, college football playoffs this year will be a little more exciting than they have been. And something that began last year and is in its second season, but the NBA, while facing the end of baseball and the hot stove league, and of course NFL as it gets into the playoffs, an interesting time in football. That's when the NBA starts. No one seems to really pay attention to it until around Christmas, when the NBA gets a number of games on TV. Well, this year the NFL decided that, we're going to take our little spot and put a couple games on Netflix. So Christmas Day, there will be a couple pretty interesting games being broadcast on Netflix. Now, if you saw the Mike Tyson fight a couple weeks ago, don't let that deter you. It'll be Christmas Day. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people not watching, because there are families that don't watch TV during holidays, and there'll be a lot of families that specifically watch games on the holidays. So there'll be a doubleheader on Netflix on Christmas Day. But the NBA Cup is a couple weeks from its championship and declaring a in-season tournament champion. The four teams in the East and West, currently the Milwaukee Bucks and Orlando Magic, will play next Tuesday or Wednesday. The New York Knicks and Atlanta Hawks will also play next week. Winners of those games will go on to play in the Eastern Finals. While in the West, it's Oklahoma City and Dallas, and the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. So those four teams will divide into two, and then the winners from each league conference will play in the NBA Cup. Kind of a little excitement for the league, you know, before the season gets into its start. And then this year, the All-Star Game will be a pickup format. So as these teams trying to innovate and reinvigorate new fans to the sport, I kind of like this NBA tournament, sort of similar to what they do in European soccer with the in-season tournaments there. I'm Jay Cruz. It's been fun today. Fantasy Sports Friday. Again, you can always go to the podcast on-demand link and download, replay, or check out this show. Until next week, I'm Jay Cruz signing off. HealthyLife.net Radio.